when Pope John Paul II was just a young seminarian. So even before he was ordained a priest, he made this prayer to our Heavenly Father. He said, "Lord, give me the grace to be a slave of the confessional, to devote so many hours to the confessional that I might win many souls back for you." He made that prayer after reading a biography of St. John Vianney. Now, many of you know, I've talked about John Vianney many times, the patron saint of parish priests, the curé of Ars. John Vianney lived in the 19th century. By the end of his life, he was hearing confessions anywhere from 12 to 20 hours every single day. So people would come, when they come, they have to take a number, right? Wait in line for 3 days, just go to confession. How did he get to that point? When he was a young priest, because of the power of his preaching, because of the witness of his life, the effectiveness of his ministry in the confessional, souls begin to come to him. And what does the evil one do when a parish starts to turn around? He wants to bring that to an end as quickly as possible. And what the evil one found is that he could not tempt John Vianney with the lusts of the world, with the lusts of the flesh. And so he decided to try to break him in another way. And that was by taking away his sleep. And so what he would do at night, and this was all new to John Vianney, he'd never experienced anything like this, but he started hearing animal noises at night, blood-curdling cries. Sometimes his bed would be shaken, or other times he'd even be lifted off the ground. There were sometimes he was even physically assaulted. And he began to become very weary. And he thought, how am I going to go on like this? But he was also afraid. But he started to notice a pattern where every time one of these nightly episodes would occur, the next day someone would come to confession who had been away from the church for many, many years, or who was in great need of confession. And he realized precisely why the evil one was coming, because he did not want him to hear that confession. Then he understood that he was also receiving the grace to help to obtain that person's conversion. People began to flock to him. And so one time, one of his brother priests... Now, when you're in a diocese, and there's many parishes around, one priest wants to know what the other priest is doing if his parish is successful. So one of his neighboring priests comes and says, "How do you do it? Why are all these people coming here?" He said, "I will tell you my recipe. I give sinners a small penance, and the rest I do in their place. I give sinners a small penance, and the rest I do in their place." But word got out that not all penances were the same. In fact, what was happening is some people who were these very faithful, active Catholics, devout souls, they'd go to confession, and they'd be confessing these tiny little venial sins, and he'd give them larger penances. "I want you to pray 5 rosaries. And they'd think, "What? You know, I didn't do hardly anything." And then someone would come who had been away from a long time, and he'd say, "Go say 2 Hail Marys. And so those very faithful souls said, that's not fair. That's not just. Father, why are you doing that?" And he said to them, "Because those who have been away for a long time are not strong enough to do a hard penance. And so, again, I do it for them." My brothers and sisters, he was not cheating anyone. Anyone who receives the mercy of God receives an infinite gift. Nothing we could ever do, no matter how great or small, could atone for our sins. And that gets to the heart of the gospel today. My brothers and sisters, God does not owe us anything. He owes us nothing. And yet he freely gives. You know, any single one of us, every grace we've ever received, it's freely given. You know, we could not look at another soul and say, "Gosh, he doesn't deserve that." Yeah, neither do we. We don't merit it. And especially the gift of salvation. And yet it's offered to every single soul, not only who has ever lived, but who lives now and will ever live in the future. And sometimes people receive it at a young age, and in middle life, and at the end of life. In fact, just a few months ago, I baptized one of our parishioners who's been coming here for many, many years. His wife's been a faithful Catholic all these years. He's 84 years old. And I remember baptizing him thinking, Lord, I wish that could be me. Right at the end of life when all the sins are done, right? The heaven's yours. No one is worthy. No one deserves it. And yet God gives generously. Just recently, I read a biography on St. Padre Pio, this man who received these extraordinary spiritual gifts. And I read this. He had a woman who came to him for spiritual direction. And she would every night send her guardian angel to ask Padre Pio for his blessing before she went to bed. And so one time she shared with another woman who also went to him for spiritual direction, yeah, I send my guardian angel every night. So this lady thinks, well, gosh, that's a great idea. I'm going to do the same thing. Well, a couple weeks go by and she does this. And then, you know, little by little, it sloughs off. She stops doing it. The next time that woman sees Padre Pio, he looks at her and he says, why have you stopped asking me for my blessing every night? He knew. And so I read that and I'm like, Lord, really? Like, didn't he have enough gifts? Couldn't I get, you know, just a little something? And in the moment I thought, am I envious because God is generous? Maybe if I had been given such a grace, I would not know how to handle that gift. Perhaps it would lead me into pride and therefore not really be good for my soul. And maybe God wanted to give me that gift, but I've forsaken it by the sins of my life. My brothers and sisters, all the spiritual masters, the great saints of the church, say that we should never compare ourselves to other souls. In the end, it does very little good for ourselves. Because we're so bad judges of ourselves. You know, oftentimes we'll look at somebody and we'll either think we're better than them, right, and therefore pride, or, gosh, you know, Lord, why can't I be like that? And we get discouraged. One time I went to confession and I was guilty of that. I was in the seminary and I said to the priest, my father, you know, I wish I could be like so-and-so. I wish I prayed as much as he did. But Father, thank goodness I'm not like so-and-so. And he said, my son, we should compare ourselves to one person only, our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is our exemplar. As we receive our Lord today, let us ask him for the grace to rejoice when he is generous with other souls. At the end of the Litany of Humility, there is a line that is so powerful. In this prayer you recite, it says, Lord, let others become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. If we can pray that from the depths of our hearts, we'll never struggle with envy when God is generous with others.